السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن من أزواجكم وأولادكم عدوا لكم فاحذروهم، وإن تعفوا وتصفحوا وتغفروا فإن الله غفور رحيم. إنما أموالكم وأولادكم فتنة والله عنده أجر عظيم. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers, also our sisters listening at the madrasa and those listening over the receivers. This morning in my normal tilawat of the Quran Sharif, I came across this ayat which I am quite sure that I discussed here two or three times. However, this ayat is very, very relevant, and especially in present day circumstances when parents do not know what to do with their children who have become totally disobedient, or their wives who have become totally disobedient, or wives whose husbands have become totally disobedient. Disobedient of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also when it comes to the rights of each other, then they too, they have become very, very negligent. Some children of course have gone on to drugs and drinks. Some husbands have gone on to womanizing, they have gone on to gambling, they have gone on to drinking, they have gone on to fornication and adultery. So many different things are happening. When it comes to the wives also, many of them are hooked and addicted to so many different soaps. They buy different kinds of soaps for their faces, and then they watch different kinds of soaps for the satisfaction of their hearts through haram pleasure. So many different things are happening. Now at such a time, sometimes the husbands are at a loss what to do. They really don't know what to do. They have children, and as a result, they cannot even think of divorce. It is a very bitter pill that they would have to swallow. They would have to face the consequences, where the children would sometimes be completely torn between the two parents. They would be traumatized. And sometimes it is the other way around, that the wives are the problem and they do not know what to do. So sometimes it's the husbands, sometimes it is the wives. In both cases, if they have to divorce, there is a major problem. And if they have to live together, there is also a major problem, because there is no happiness in that home. That home has become hellfire on earth. They don't require any hellfire in the hereafter. They are already getting the taste of that in this world. So at such a time, it becomes very difficult. What do we do? And sometimes it is nobody's fault. It is just nobody's fault, neither the husband's fault nor the wife's fault. Both of them tried their level best to give that child good education, to give that child a good environment at home, to upbring the child in the proper Islamic manner, both of them made the correct effort on the child. But that child turned out to be the child of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, that he was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, but his son refused to listen to him. His son refused to believe in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His son said, I will climb on the high mountain where the floods will come. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam pleaded to him, but he wouldn't listen. So will anybody say that that was the fault of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam? Na'udzubillah. Or if you have to take the wife of Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, she was a kafira. She refused to accept belief in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. At that time the laws of nikah were different. But the fact is that was it any fault of Hazrat Lut alayhi salatu wasalam? Even if we have to take the uncles of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, or those that were related somehow to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, many of them did not accept Islam. So would we blame Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for that, that he did not make the correct effort on them? So what I am expressing is that sometimes it is not the fault of the parents. They have tried their level best. They did not provide in their homes those TVs and Hollywood and Bollywood movies. They did not provide in their homes filthy literature. They did not give them a kind of environment which was filthy and dirty. They were both namazis. They were both practicing on Sharia. They were both practicing on Sharia, on Quran Sharif, on Sunnah. Both of them were making some askars, some tilawat, etc. But the child found some friends outside the house, found some friends in the school, found some friends on the football ground or cricket ground. Or the child somehow found a cell phone and got hooked on Mixit and other chat lines on the computer. So now you won't blame the parents for that. You will say that the parents made every effort to see to it that those children were given the proper upbringing. But now if that child went on the crooked line, so we will say that it will definitely cause great amount of grief and pain to the parents. The parents will be very grieved and very pained that my son, my daughter, I tried my level best to give the proper upbringing and protect the child from all kinds of evil influences. But unfortunately the child got hooked. So there we are not going to blame the parents. But in most cases what happens is either the father is to be blamed or the mother is to be blamed. Or both of them are to be blamed. So all these things create a great amount of fights, quarrels, arguments, disputes. So that is from the worldly point of view that all these type of things are happening. But here in this ayat of the Quran Sharif, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala discusses husbands and wives, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, O ye believers, inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahzaruhum. So it does not mean that all wives, and it does not mean that all children, and it does not mean that all husbands, because azwaj is the plural of zawj, and it is used for both husband and wife. So therefore we should not say that only the wives are being addressed here, or the husbands are being addressed. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, inna min azwajikum, and that is the beauty of the Quran Sharif, that the words are such that they can cover different angles. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, inna min azwajikum, inna, definitely, most certainly. That means there's no doubt about it. That from your wives and your children, or it can be from the husbands and the children. Both ways. Aduwwan lakum. There are your enemies. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala uses the word min, very clearly indicating that it's not all wives and it's not all husbands, and it's not all children. They can be excellent wives, excellent husbands, and excellent children. And they can also be those who are problematic, those who have got evil habits, or those who have become a pain, or those who will become a cause of suffering for those parents in the hereafter, or the husband for the wife, or the wife for the husband. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, from your wives and from your children, or as I explained to you, that can be from the husband and the children, there are your enemies. One is that which we all are well aware of and familiar. Again, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's word that is chosen is adu, enemy. Now it can go very far. We can cover every aspect of enmity. Some of that enmity, it affects the person in this world. Some of it will affect the person in the hereafter. An enemy, he is out to destroy the enemy. An enemy is not one who is concerned about the welfare, about the happiness, and about the goodness of his enemy. He is going to do everything to cause harm to his enemy. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, from amongst your wives and children, or as I explained, can be from your husband and children, there are your enemies. So I was explaining that in our times we are now very, very clear in our minds with regard to that enmity which is of this world. That how many husbands have planned to take the lives of their wives. How many husbands? They will even pay people to go and shoot, to kill, to murder their wives. Sometimes it is for insurance purposes that the wife has got in her name a very big insurance policy. So if the wife has to die, then the beneficiary is the husband. Now look at the harm of that insurance policy, that it is already creating ideas in the mind of the husband that here's R1 million, R2 million, and as it is, I'm in a little bit of financial difficulty. So the best way is to give somebody 10,000, 20,000 and tell the person to blow the head of my wife so that I can get the insurance policy. Is it some secret? Is it some thing that is unknown to us, or we haven't read about it or heard about it? How many cases in the world, whether it is for insurance policy or for anything else, it could be for money, it could be for her jewelry, it could be for her property, it could be for her bank balance, it could be even that this person wants to get rid of her so that he can bring some other woman in his life. Many, many other reasons. But how many times the husband is the enemy of the wife? He is a genuine enemy. He wants the wife's life to be taken. And how many times we have heard of the wives who want to get the husband out of the way. The husband is the obstacle in her planning, in her treachery, in her ideas, in her fancies, in her hopes, whatever she has got. The husband seems to be the problem. So to get rid of him, she will pay anybody any price as long as the husband is killed and murdered. How many cases of this nature also we have been listening to or reading about recently. Now look at Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala giving us 1400 years ago or more than that, when the Quran Sharif was revealed upon Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. We are already told that inna min azwajikum wa awladikum aduwwan lakum fahzaruhum. So we must be very wary, we must be very cautious, we must be very careful. That means we should not be bola-bala people all the time. Of course, most of it is caused by ourselves. The environment in which we live is definitely vicious, but if a person wants to be saved from the harms of the environment, it is possible. But if we ourselves introduce those TVs and movies in our homes and we say, what is wrong, what is wrong, what is wrong? Innocent pictures. They just watch some sport, some cricket, some soccer, some this, some that. And we are unconcerned what they are watching late night, what they are watching quietly in the privacy of their rooms, because we have provided each one in every room. For every room has got a television set. So they lock the door, and after that we are quite comfortable watching the one in our room, they watching in their room. Now when they are going to watch all the time, all those kinds of films in which there is treachery, there's murder, there's killing, the husband having the wife killed, and the wife having the husband killed, and the parents having the children killed, and the children killing the parents, all those kind of things when they are going to watch, then what is going to be the end result? Our duty is just to keep on conveying this message. After that, it is left to the individual if he wants to accept or does not want to accept. Sometimes, and we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not to put anybody through such kind of tests and trials. But many a times we wait until we face such conditions ourselves. We keep on waiting. We keep on rejecting all those messages that we listen to. Say nothing is wrong. The enjoyment of the nafs comes first. Then comes everything else. So then we are creating those enemies. From amongst our wives and children, we are creating those enemies. Although these ayat, the revelation of them, it is mentioned that in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrat and went over to Madina Tayyibah. And when he went over to Madina Tayyibah, then all the Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in who were with him in Makkah Mukarrama, it had become compulsory, obligatory for them to make hijrat and go to Madina Sharif. There was no question of I will decide, I will think, I will see if it is right or if it's good for me. For Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is leaving Makkah Mukarrama and going to Madina Tayyibah. So everyone who has accepted Islam must follow with him. Nobody was allowed to remain in Makkah Mukarrama if he had accepted Islam. Now was this an easy order of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? If we had been there in his time with our business houses and our industries and our professions and all other kinds of occupations, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had ordered that I am leaving for Madina Sharif, nobody must remain behind in Makkah Sharif. Only the kuffar, the mushrikeen will remain in Makkah Mukarrama. All the rest must now leave for Madina Sharif. Would we have been able to do that? What kind of people these Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in were? That they did not even look back to see what they were leaving behind in Makkah Mukarrama. It's a hukam of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Therefore we are going to go with him. And of course, in practically all cases, it was a question of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that wherever he goes, we will go. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the same Allah of Makkah Mukarrama and the same Allah of Madina Tayyibah. So he who provides for us in Makkah Mukarrama, he will also give to us in Madina Sharif. And see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala provided for them in Madina Sharif. My Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Damat Barakatuh, he says a beautiful thing. He says that every one of them knew that there was 100,000 sawab in Makkah Mukarrama. All of them knew that. There is 100,000 times sawab in Makkah Mukarrama. And Baitullah Sharif was there in Makkah Mukarrama. And in Madina Sharif they were going to get 50%. But not one of them said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coming to Madina Sharif we will get half of that. So let us remain in Makkah Sharif to make the tawaf of the Kaaba Sharif and get the sawab. Each and every one of them said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherever you go, we come. They did not do calculations. They knew they will get much, much, much more sawab and reward in that company and sohbat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam than remaining behind in Makkah Sharif. So every one of them who was a Muslim had to leave, and all of them left. However, there were many people who accepted Islam after these people had made hijrat and gone over to Madina Sharif. There were lots of people still in Makkah Sharif. They were slowly, slowly coming into Islam. So many of them came into Islam after these Sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in had migrated. They had gone to Madina Sharif. They had made hijrat. So when they decided to go now, some of them now, when they decided to go to Madina Sharif, their wives and children became an obstacle. Some of those wives said that we tolerated your conversion to Islam, but now we cannot bear your leaving us and going away to Madina Sharif. And some of them, they delayed their hijrat to Madina Sharif because of those children or because of those wives. So they, when they finally arrived at Madina Sharif, then they saw that those people who had already made hijrat before them, they had gone far ahead in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they had gone far ahead. And these people were left behind. So now the natural anger came that who became the obstacle? The wife or the husband or the children, somebody became the obstacle. There was an opportunity to make hijrat, but the delay was because of the children or because of the wife or because of the husband, whoever it was. So now they became naturally angry. And in that anger now they decided to take very, very harsh action against those wives and children. Natural anger that we got left behind. Look at these people, how far ahead they went. And these wives and children, they became the obstacle. In their love, we remained behind. In their love, we did not leave immediately. So this created a kind of an anger, and because of this anger now, they became very, very grieved, or now they decided to take very harsh action to punish the wives or to punish the children. Now look at our Allah. How compassionate, how merciful, how kind Allah Ta'ala is. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala could have revealed the ayat after that, that you have made the right decision. Give it to them, whip them, hit them, punch them on their noses, why they delayed you. Or take away every kind of facility from them. Let them go through some kind of hardship and difficulty. Allah Ta'ala could have said that, because it was His hukam to make hijrat. But look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. How loving, how compassionate, how merciful. He is interceding on behalf of those wives and on behalf of those children. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself is interceding on their behalf now. What does Allah Ta'ala say? وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفَحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. وَإِن تَعْفُوا, if you have to pardon them, وَتَصْفَحُوا, and if you have to overlook this weakness of theirs, this shortcoming of theirs, and if you have to forgive them, then verily Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the most forgiving and the most merciful. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is telling them that indeed they have made a mistake. They should not have done that. They should not have become an obstacle. They should not have been a block. They should have been the ones to encourage you, to help you, to assist you in making hijrat. So they made a very, very serious error in their lives. But now Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that the cause of action is not that you punish them. The cause of action is not that you hit them or beat them up or whip them or stone them or swear them and curse them. That is not the cause of action. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is saying that now if you have to overlook, if you have to pardon them, you have to overlook and you have to forgive. Then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is also the most forgiving and the most merciful. In other words, you yourself need the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. You need the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. So if they have made this mistake, they are not arrogant, they are not stubborn, they are not justifying their sin and they are not persistent. They admit also that indeed it was a mistake, it was an error, they should not have done that. So now you should overlook, you should forgive, you should pardon, you should show mercy, compassion. And if you are going to do that, then in essence, it means that when you are also in need of mercy and forgiveness, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will give it to you. Because you are in need of Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness and Allah Ta'ala's mercy at all times. Who is not in need of Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness? And of course, the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, they were different. Their taqwa levels, their piety, their companionship of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and all the other rahmat that they enjoyed. Now, we do not have that. So, if we have to relate it to our circumstances, then we will say that amongst our wives and our children, or as far as the wives are concerned, then from amongst the husband of the ummah, different people. So, if it is the husband of the wife, or wives of the husband, whoever it may be, or it is the children in our time, if they are also giving the parents, or their husbands are giving the wives, or the wives are giving the husband a problem, a difficulty, a hardship, or they are obstacles in the path of progress, they are causing obstacles, then at that time, what must the husband do? What must the wife do? What must the parents do? If they are going to say, well, divorce, 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 then our ummah will be filled with divorced women. We will all have only divorcees after that. Because everybody is angry these days. Which person is not angry? And the best part is, people are now angry. Somebody is angry over his parents. The wives are angry about the husband. The husbands are angry about the wife. So that we can expect. But now even when you go to the organizations of deen, then people are angry there too. Somebody is angry over the Amir, somebody is angry over the President, somebody is angry over the Secretary, somebody is angry over the Treasurer. Then if you have to go to the Khanqahs, then there too people are angry. The Murids are angry about the Sheikh. The other way around. Murids are angry about the Sheikh. And sometimes the Sheikhs are angry about the Murids. Nobody seems to be listening to anybody. So everybody is angry. Now, if everyone is going to give vent to his anger, then what will be the society? If only we have to give it some kind of shape and form, then it will be like fire that is raging in the homes and in the business houses and in the organizations and in the masjids and in khanqahs and in tabligh and dawat and everywhere. Because everybody seems to be at loggerheads. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving us a very beautiful advice. That at such a time, we do not have to throw them out of the house. This is a major mistake that we make, that if the son has been caught taking some kind of drug, or the daughter has been caught, she was involved in some illicit love relationship, or the husband has been caught in some haram relationship of his, or the wife has been caught in some kind of haram activity. So now all these things must be brought to their attention. This is haram, you must give it up, make tawbah, turn towards Allah Ta'ala, repent. Don't let our marriage break down because of this. Don't, if you're going to continue like this, then it's going to cause trauma for our children or the children. They are explained that if you are going to continue like this, then it will make it difficult for us to continue giving you our care and our love and give you clothes and food and shelter and car and cell phone and education and everything else. So change your lifestyle, change your habit, go and attend some good programs, make tawbah, make istighfar. In other words, talk, talk and talk. As much as possible, talk. Get them out of their sicknesses, weaknesses. Instead of screaming and shouting and hitting and beating, which is not going to solve the problem. How many cases I have come across, how many, we can't even keep count, so many, where the parents threw them out of the house, or the wife threw the husband out of the house, because the house was belonging to her father, the house was belonging to her father, the husband was living in there, so she said, it's my house, now in the argument, they take your bags and get out, it's my father's place, and sometimes the other way around, husbands have thrown their wives out. Or parents have thrown the children out on the streets. Thereafter, where do they end up? For a few days, in fact, they enjoy themselves. Because they have friends, they have some money, so they are going to enjoy themselves some way or the other. Or they will get into the habit of selling drugs and buying drugs and making some money. Or they will go into prostitution, or they will go into some other kind of haram activity just to make some money and to pass those days that they are out on the streets. And then sometimes you'll find them in the prison and you'll get a call from there. So is that some sensible decision that those parents have made? Indeed, there's great sabr that is required. There's no doubt about that, that some children really, really test the patience of the parents to the limit. Some of the wives, they test the patience of the husband to the limit. And some husbands, they test the wife's patience to the limit. The wife does not know what to do, to commit suicide or to carry on living in that state. Sometimes the husbands think like that. But throwing them out on the street or just exercising the right of divorce and without any real effort to reconcile, without any real effort to patch up the differences, without any real effort to overlook, to forgive and to pardon, just divorce, divorce, divorce. And what is our society going to be filled with? How many are crying? They say, we made the wrong decision. It was on the spur of the moment. One person said, I always regret. After I have given vent to my anger, then I regret. So ask the person, is there anybody that gets angry and after that doesn't regret? So why didn't you regret before the anger? Before the anger, a person should regret. He should think a little, he should use his discretion, he should use his willpower, he should use the capacity Allah Ta'ala has given him. So look at Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, how beloved of Allah Ta'ala is, how loving he is, how compassionate and merciful he is. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala should have said, give them a good idea. Here they disobeying Allah Ta'ala. And they became the cause of the delay of these people going to Medina Sharif. But yet Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is interceding on their behalf and saying that if you have to pardon them, if you have to overlook, if you have to forgive, then فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving, most merciful. In fact, before this ayat, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala discusses about musibat and difficulties and hardships. Ma asaba min musibatin illa bi iznillah. Wa man yu'min billahi yahdi qalbah. Wallahu bi kulli shay'in alim. Wa ati'u Allah wa ati'u ar-rasul. فَإِن تَوَلَّيْتُمْ فَإِنَّمَا عَلَى رَسُولِنَا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Any kind of difficulty or hardship or pain or suffering that comes, it is with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's order. It is with His hukam. Nobody goes through any kind of suffering without Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's hukam and order. Any kind of difficulty in the world, if a person has to analyze it, then why exactly at that moment in time? Why exactly at that stage in that person's life? One person was held up for the first time in his life at one of the robots. And after that he was so traumatized that he wanted to pack up and leave this country. So people were appealing to him, his family and all that, that where are you going to go? In any case, they brought him to me. They asked him, what's your age? So he gave me his age, 40, 50, whatever, I don't remember. And I said, how long are you using that same route to your business? Because that was the route to his business. Every morning he takes that road. So he said, for many, many years. So I said, for so many years you use that road. Why you were not held up all those years? All those years you were not held up. And on this particular morning, when you were going, so there were so many cars of the same make as your car. If you had a BMW, then it's not your BMW only that passed there. How many others must have passed also? Why they left all those cars, or why they didn't see those cars, or why they came late when those cars had already passed, and just when your car was coming past, then they held you up there. So think in that direction, once in a lifetime. And that too, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala saved your life. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala saved those people that were in your car. Allah Ta'ala saved everything else of yours. Your house is still there, your business is still there, everything is still there. So So there must be some wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that why particularly on that day there was a hold up in which your car was hijacked. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala only knows. Can be the pious person, can be a waliullah, can be a shaykh of tariqat, he can be muhaddis of the time, he can be mufassir of the time, he can be anything. And he could be an ordinary person like us. Different people will go through different tests and trials. Do hold-ups and murders and killings and break-ins and thefts only take place of those who are very, very sinful. That is the difference. That those who are pious, righteous, it is a test for them. Allah Ta'ala wants to give them something better in return. Allah Ta'ala wants to show that these people are my pious and righteous servants who accept every kind of hukam of mine. And in difficulties and hardships, see how they still remain my sincere worshippers and sincere bandas. Even in difficulties and hardships, they don't lose their iman. They don't go and sell their iman. They don't barter their iman. Or they do not go on complaining about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They don't say we made so much namazah, so much tilawat, so much zikr and so much duas, then how can all these things happen to us? In difficulties, they say, Inna Allah ma'as sabireen. They say, definitely we were informed by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that we are going to test you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُم مُّصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. So Allah Ta'ala has informed that He will definitely test. So these people in difficulties, hardship, pain and suffering also, they made use of the means to come out of the difficulties. But they exercise patience and sabr and they believe that Allah Ta'ala is with them in that condition. That's what Allah Ta'ala wanted to show. And for those who were evil, for those who were sinful, for those who were disobedient, then it's an azab and a punishment of Allah Ta'ala. But I say that even that punishment is a mercy from Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala for the believers because Allah Ta'ala wants them to return to Him. It was a wake-up call, as we say, that if a person is given a wake-up call, then he says, Alhamdulillah, at least I got a wake-up call. I nearly oversleep. The person who had a flight to catch, and he was in a hotel nearby the airport, and the person was given a wake-up call when he was in deep sleep, when he was snoring away, at that time he got a call. So what's happening is that your flight, you know, you're already getting late. So that person will be thankful. He won't say, you disturbed my sleep. What a beautiful dream I was having. What a stupid you are. Why didn't you let me enjoy the dream first and finish my sleep first? Then you should have got me up. Does he say that? So here this person was in the midst of his enjoyment of evil and haram, which was going to take him, that flight was going to take him direct to Jahannam. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave him a wake-up call, shook him up from his slumber and sleep and said that get up because you are now going to catch a flight to Jahannam. So he got a wake-up call. So that is a mercy and a rahmat of Allah ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ Whosoever believes in Allah ta'ala, يَهْدِي قَلْبَهِ Which can be explained that Allah ta'ala gives them the hidayat of Radha bil Qaza and Sabr. That on that musibat and difficulty, Allah Ta'ala gives them Radha bil Qaza and Sabr. And Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala knows in His wisdom who to give punishment and who to give rewards and awards. There's so much in the Quran Sharif, what are we going to discuss? So therefore Allah Ta'ala says, Wa atiu Allah wa atiu Rasul. Obey Allah and obey His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For if you turn away, if we have to turn away, if the person doesn't want to obey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he wants to reject Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasallam's commands and teachings and ahkam, then he is not going to harm anybody but himself. I'm not giving you the translation, I'm giving you the meaning. That this person is going to harm himself, because Allah Ta'ala says that on our Nabi, on our messenger, there is nothing but to convey the message. As far as the messenger is concerned, his duty is to convey the message. That this is Islam, this is Quran, this is Sunnah. If you do these things, you will go to Jannat and you will enjoy the ni'mats of Jannat. And if you are disobedient, then you are going to go to the fire of hell, or even in this world, these are the sufferings that people will have to endure who are disobedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So now He has shown us the path, He has told us that these are the enjoyments of life that you will get. And in the hereafter, these are the enjoyments that you will get. Read all the ayat of Jannat. But if the person says, no, I'm not interested in all that, I like a little bit of suffering, na'uzubillah. So then how are you going to blame the Prophet for that? He is warning and he is giving glad tidings. Glad tidings for the believers and warning for those who are disbelievers or those who are rejecting. So the message in this ayat was that indeed our children, our wives, and for the wives, their husbands, they can be mistakes, they can be shortcomings, they can be faults, they can be sins, they can be evil. There can be many things that are happening. But without doing injustice to anybody else, that is the bottom line, that we have to remember that when forgiving our children and forgiving our wives, or for the wives when forgiving their husbands, there must be no injustice at the same time to somebody else. Sometimes in the forgiveness of the child or forgiveness of the wife or the husband, there is injustice that is being done to somebody else. The son has stolen some property, some goods, or the son has embezzled funds, or the son has charged interest, or the son has done something else, or the husband has done that, or the wife has done that. That it was property of inheritance which was not rightfully due to the husband or the wife, or to the children, whatever it was. Now there the husband says, I forgive you. The wife says, I forgive you. Or the children say, I forgive you all. Or the parents tell the child, we forgive you. So is that sufficient? That everyone just forgives and say, well, forget about it. Now don't worry. Whatever you brought, whatever you stole and brought into the house, you shouldn't have done that. It was the wrong thing you did, but never mind, we forgive you now. If you went to the neighbor's house and stole the jewelry and brought it from there, now the wife looked at the jewelry and say, even my husband didn't give me jewelry like this at my wedding day. So tells the child and the son that you shouldn't have done like that. It's a wrong thing you did, but now might we forgive you. So will that make sense to anybody? He will have to return that jewelry. She'll have to return that jewelry and then ask those people for forgiveness. So if there is any kind of injustice upon anyone else, then of course that forgiveness is not sufficient by the parents. That overlooking is not good enough. Then the party that has been the victim, you have to seek forgiveness from them. But other kind of difficulties or hardship or problems that we experience, either from the wife's side or the husband's side or the children's side, whoever experiences some kind of problem. So there, Allah Ta'ala is interceding, that overlook, forgive, pardon them. Allah Ta'ala is also Ghafoorur Rahim. And your amwal and your awlad, your wealth and your children, they are a test. May Allah Ta'ala give us the correct understanding and protect us from all the fitnas that are lashing at us like storms from all sides. The sukoon of dil, the tranquility of the heart, is a lost commodity. It is something that has disappeared from our dictionaries. We don't even know the meaning of it anymore. Because the English language does not have any kind of explanation for Sakina. Because Sakina, what is Sakina? Hiya nurun yastaqirru fil qalb. Sakina is a nur which comes and settles on the heart of a believer of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. It descends from above, it comes down onto the hearts. Then you get tranquility. Look at the Sahaba Ikram in the midst of battle, they had Sakina. while they are suffering losses in the battle, they have a Sakina. So there has to be an airport on which this Sakina is going to land. And that airport landing strip is the heart of a mu'min. Now if that mu'min through sins and through evil glances and lustful gazes and haram indulgences, he has bombarded that airport, where is that Sakina going to land? If through our sins we have already bombarded the airport of the heart, so where is that Sakina going to then land? That sukoon, that tranquility, that peace. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all His muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and protect us from all the fitnas and all the evil and all the mischief and corruption. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala Sayyidina. Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram, Ya Zal Jalali wal Ikram. My beloved Allah, my Rahim Allah, Kareem Allah, most forgiving Allah, most compassionate, loving, caring Allah. Ah, my beloved Allah, how Rahim you are, how Kareem you are, how forgiving you are, how merciful and compassionate you are. You are interceding, my beloved Allah. You are interceding on behalf of us. My beloved Allah, we haven't recognized you. We haven't understood your mercy. We haven't understood your kindness. We haven't appreciated your forgiveness. We haven't appreciated your concern for your creation. Sinful ones like us, my beloved Allah, you intercede even on our behalf. And how much of hope you give to us, my Allah, when you state yourself in the Quran Sharif, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Ah, my Allah, how much of hope you give to us sinful ones, that you are غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. How I wish, my beloved Allah, I could have appreciated this great ni'mat and bounty of yours. Ya Rahim, Ya Kareem, when you are informing us of your treasures of forgiveness, in so many ayat and verses of the Quran Sharif, you are informing us of your treasures of forgiveness. In one ayat of the Quran Sharif, my beloved Allah, you state, وَقُلْ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Say, O my sustainer, O my Lord, O my Rabb, forgive me and have mercy upon me, for you are the most merciful of those showing mercy. My beloved Allah, this is again a clear indication that you are informing us of your treasures which are unlimited of mercy and forgiveness. Why should a father show his treasures to his son if he was not interested in giving the son any part of those treasures? The very fact that you are informing us is an indication that you want to forgive. All you want from us is to express our regret, our remorse, our shame, our nadamat. Mere Allah, ay mere Rabbe Kareem, am nadim hai, am sharminda hai. We are not bragging about our sins, we are not justifying our sins, we are ashamed of our sins. But we have no one besides you, my Allah, سوائے تیرے ہمارا کوئی سہارا نہیں ہے, سوا تیرے کوئی ہمارا نہیں. We have no other door, my Allah, to tap. Forgive our major sins, minor sins, sins that we committed knowingly, unknowingly, in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive our wives, our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, family members, and ummat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ey mere Rabbe Kareem, hame maaf kar de, hame maaf kar de, hame maaf kar de. Tujhe chhod ke hum gande jaye kaha. Bless us with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment. Bless us with your marifat, with your qurb, with your muhabbat and the muhabbat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with barakat in our businesses, in our homes, in our life, in our time. Bless us with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Bless the entire ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam with the best of dunya and akhirah. Remove their suffering, their pain, their difficulties, their hardships. Bless each and every person with the tawfiq of your obedience and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain and suffering of the ummah around the globe and entire mankind around the globe. Bless everyone with hidayah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, all his life he made dua for us. Bless us with all the goodness that he asked for us. Bless the ummah with that goodness. And from all the mischief, corruption and fitnas, he asked for protection. Protect us and the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ek din marna hai, akhir maut hai. Don't let the angel of death find us in a disco, cinema, theater or any kind of haram. موت کا وقت آئے تو خاتمہ سلامتی دین اور آزا کے ساتھ شہادت کی موت مدینہ شریف میں ہمیں نصیب ہے. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.